Welcome to the Screw the Clout. I'm your host, Steve Stanulis. Each week, we're going to have amazing guests share their stories of saying, screw it. Tune in each week. This is Screw the Clout. Welcome to Screw the Clout. My name is Steve Stanulis. We have another amazing episode today. But before we get started, I want to thank every one of my listeners for making us top five on right now as we speak. Not only on Apple Podcasts, but Spotify. The reason why this happens is not because I just rant and rave and you like to hear my voice. We have amazing guests from all over the genre of every single thing. We have all entrepreneurs from every single spectrum. So what we're going to do right now, and I'm excited for this one, Jasmine, is we have porn star, Miss Jasmine Cherney. Jasmine, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you for joining us at 8 in the morning from New Orleans.
You know, we're here. We're doing our
Monday.
I wake up fairly early on weekdays. I give myself time off on the weekends. So, you know, it's not too bad. I like getting an early start. That way I get things done.
That's it. The early bird catches the worm, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna kind of jump all over the place today because a lot of our listeners like to hear a lot of different things. And porn stars, I happen to get the most amount of downloads. It's pretty crazy.
The data says people want to hear more about porn stars. Look at that.
I guess sex is never ends, right? So how did you get into the industry? How did that whole thing get started?
You know, oddly enough, I got into the industry from food, like going out to eat, food blogging. I was a nurse for a few years. During that time, I, you know, still lived here in New Orleans. I had a friend who was like, I want to knock out all these restaurants. And I just started like a food Instagram. Then I started blogging about food. I started doing pictures with food and by that lifestyle modeling. And then I just decided like eventually I wanted to go just into modeling and see if I could build like a creator influencer type of brand. Mm-hmm. And my food brand was already pretty salacious with food. I really liked being like doing that. And I was, you know, pretty kind of sexy, slutty on the side and away from my career. Also, uh-huh. Like I would parade through the streets with my Mardi Gras crews, like mostly naked. Someone in my crew was like, oh, yeah, because there's like another Jasmine. They'd be like, OK, well, which Jasmine are you talking about? They'd be like, you know, Jasmine with the body. Jasmine that's always naked. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not mad at that. And so I just started doing, you know, more and more of what I loved and what felt true and right for me. That's the Reader's Digest version.
Well, were you like very sexual before you got into porn? I mean, were you overly...
So yes. I was married. I got married really young. And then when I left that marriage, I knew that I wanted to start exploring non-monogamy and I wanted to start exploring kink. So I started going to like play parties. I started going to classes about BDSM and kink. I started venturing out and into that world. I went to a lot of burlesque shows here in New Orleans, which are kind of, a lot of the ones that I went to are more alternative. And just really getting involved with that community. So I had friends who were sex workers. I had always kind of wanted to dabble in that area. And it didn't feel like something completely strange and different to me.
What is your first experience like? So is it what you thought? Is it totally different? What are you, when you first walk on, what is your like initial response?
Well, I got brought into I did my first scene was with Brazzers. And mm-hmm. I got brought onto that by a really good friend who was going to be my director that day, or who was my director. And so he definitely walked me through, and as did the entire Brazzers team, right? Like you do onboarding.
If I might interrupt one second, for everybody listening out there that is not familiar with porn, whatever, Brazzers is one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest sites, right? So that's awesome because at least you know you're going to a legit company. So I'm sorry. So continue.
That's totally fine. Yeah, no, you're right. Brazzers is like the biggest name, like one of the biggest names in porn. So I was like, you know, it was insane for me. I just living it and being like, wow, this is my first time ever being on a set. This is my first time ever being like the person doing porn. Like this film is for me. I'm the star. And I'm do shooting it with like one of the biggest companies. It was massive. But they, like I said, they have like an intake process, like the first time you shoot with them. So there's like a someone who calls you and like goes over like, hey, this is what you're going to expect when you're on set. These are things like, hey, if there's not a talent assistant, if there's not someone, you know, if these things happen, call this number immediately. Hey, if at any point you feel uncomfortable, this is who you're going to talk to on set. Hey,
Wow,
if that
that's
isn't
crazy.
happening, again, stop, call me immediately. We will make sure that it's good. I mean, I really got brought into such and in such a beautiful and amazing and safe way. I will say I was really nervous, right? It was my first time. I was like, I don't know exactly. I think about things and I say like, you know, I'm still only in my first year of porn. This is like in 2 days is like when my debut hit. And I call them like young, dumb things, right? And it doesn't like, I am young to this industry. I'm like, I am bound to do something young and dumb. And so when I walk onto a set and I speak to a director and it's a new person, I'm like, hey, after a set, I'm like, how was it? How was I? What, also, but like, what tips do you have for me not to do a young, dumb thing? Like, what are some young, dumb things that you've seen people do?
No, I mean, those are all good questions. I mean, obviously, and again, we're all at the end of the day. Everybody, is insecure, right? And everybody wants to make sure, and especially when you're first starting, you want to know, hey, was that good? Whatever. So when you first meet the first guy you're going to be with, is it very, is it, were you into him? Was you attracted to him? And also, the second part of that question was, were, if you were, you weren't, is it hard to get into it when all with all the lighting and all that stuff is that for you was that enjoyable? Because some people get off on people watching, some people I know that lights are on them and they're like, all right, now turn this over, now do this, now so how was that for you? So what's that experience like?
Well, like I said before, I definitely went to sex parties. I've had sex in front of plenty of people before doing this, but it's very different when you have like a group of, you know, let's say somewhere between like 5 and 10 people who are behind lights and camera, just kind of being quiet, or kind of as you always hope that like you see a smile from your cameraman or your director or someone to be like, I'm doing great. But so there were two guys that day. One I did like a foot job with. I'm not sure exactly how many things I can say on here.
No, you say everything. That's a
Okay.
great, right? Yeah,
Good.
yeah,
Yay.
fucking
Do it.
whatever you want.
Yeah. So Zane Walker, I did a foot job scene with him. It was both of, well, it wasn't my first time doing a foot job, but it was his first time ever doing a foot job. It was my first time doing one on camera. And that was different. That was different, especially since, yeah, that was just a very different experience. But I still talk to Zane like probably once a week now. Like we have a really great relationship and like I don't know. The word is escaping me. But like yeah, we keep in touch and we're still really good friends. And then the main talent, my main male talent was Chris Diamond. He is great at making you feel sexy and making you feel comfortable. I mean, the man also is working with like a baseball bat in his pants. Which was terrifying, terrifying. Like I knew I had looked him up and I was like, oh God, this is okay. All right, we're gonna do that. Yeah. I was already nervous, but then like I remember filming part of my scene with Zane and like I was like running around through the dining room into the kitchen and around this corner and I'd see Chris there and he'd kind of be like flirting with me as I'd run by. I'm like, oh my God, stop. I'm like I'm trying to be professional here. But I remember waiting and like kind of like talking to him and he was like when I saw it and like my hand first went on it, I was just like, I genuinely didn't. I was like, I don't know if that's gonna go. I was like, that's a lot thicker than I thought it was gonna be. Yeah, y'all, I don't know if this is gonna fit. I don't know how we're gonna do this. And he was just like, look, it's gonna be fine. I promise you, like they're gonna give us a little section on the side where like I can warm you up. He was very like flirty, good at making me feel good, great at also giving me like little tidbits of direction, making sure that I felt comfortable and sexy, like genuinely to the point where I was like, damn, if I dated you, I would be nervous because I feel like you make every woman feel amazing and sexy and wanted.
I mean, is he a good looking guy? Is
He
he?
is a good looking man. He is fit and very well endowed. He's Spanish. He's been in the game for quite some time.
Right, because again, it's funny because a friend of mine back in the day, we worked at Chippendales, right? And
Ooh, look at
a friend,
you. Chippendales.
So a friend, my buddy, it's a funny story. My buddy was dating some girl who I used to dance with, and she broke up with him and cheated on him for some. And it's always funny because we all like none of us cared about girlfriends or whatever. And he was the monogamous one, right? And he cheats on him, and now he's devastated. And then he goes to L.A. and becomes a porn star to show her.
To show her,
And
hey, out of spite, out of
and basically,
spite.
he's been in the game even till today. He went to the Porn Star Hall of Fame. His name's I don't know if you ever heard of Tommy Gunn,
I have
but
heard of Tommy Gunn, and I heard you mention him in another one of your podcasts as well.
yes. So Tommy was like the first guy to be like he was always in good shape, ripped, shredded. All the guys used to be, obviously he goes back to like the 2002, 2003. So all the guys used to just as long as they had big dicks, it didn't matter what their body layout, stomachs,
Really?
hairy,
Yeah,
like
earlier in the
Austin
game. Early
Powers.
in the game.
So anyhow, he like kind of changed it for a lot of people. But the point is, it's funny because Tommy, obviously, because of that, went to porn and then obviously made a whole career out of it. But and again, he got nominated for the whole Porn Star Hall of Fame, all these different things. But it's funny because you said this guy was ripped and in good shape.
Beautiful, beautiful man.
Good. No, and listen, I mean, if I'm going to do porn, right? I the last thing I want to do is show up on set and there's this big fat again. Not to be
You're like
politically
not
incorrect.
shaming people's
No,
bodies,
I'm not
not
fat
shaming
shaming
people's
people, but I'm saying
preferences, but you're just saying,
I'm sure as a dude, it's harder. No pun intended. It's harder because obviously, you got to worry about keeping it up, fucking this, all this stuff. And then if you're somebody that's really unattractive, so obviously it makes it easier for you if the guy is attractive and, he does it for you. So is it easy to come on set? Do you ever get off on set or
Oh,
no?
I definitely get off on set. Yeah. And it's funny because I did an entire viewing party for this first film. And one of
Okay.
the first questions, I had like 15 of my closest friends come over. We literally just watched it. And I was like, hey, you guys, this is going to be like the sexiest non-sex party you've ever been to because like no one's touching themselves. No one's, like we're
Right,
not.
right,
None of
right.
it's happening. Act right. And then one of the first questions afterwards that my friends asked me, they were like, "Did you actually get off? Was any of that real?" And I was like, "Oh my God, it was all real." In that first, like it was all like none of that was acting. All of the I've had fans or people be like, "Oh, you seem so over exaggerated." I was like, "I seem over exaggerated while I'm taking a baseball bat? I don't think there's a way to be over exaggerated."
That's funny. That's fucking great. Well, because like I said, we've done this porn star row, right? Like I said earlier, and we've had girls on the newer end, and I've had girls that have been doing it for 20 years that are, been in the game, like Brittany Andrews and all these different Kayla. And the funny thing with them is, and even girls that are on the newer side, when I ask if they get off, some people say, well, no, because it's very technical and all this stuff. And then the older ones are like,
Oh
dude,
no,
it's like
that was not their job. It was not their
no,
job.
it's like it's a job. I do it, whatever. And so it's funny to get different perspectives. You know what I mean?
No, and I've definitely heard from like Lee Alexis, who's now a director and a producer. Like I've worked with her, and she's like, yeah, she's from the days where she was like, yeah, if you came on set, she's like, she had a director that used to like stop the scene and be like, and ruin orgasms for females because they were like, no, this is not what you're here for. You're here to perform. And I'll say, am
Really?
I? Yes. Yeah, that's, I mean, they used to just be how it was. Not every scene is the same. There are scenes that I haven't gotten off on. There are scenes where, like, I've had a partner where I'm like, I really don't enjoy this, whether it's a OnlyFans collab or a pro scene. I will say that my first pro scene where I genuinely, like, God, I was, God, I want to be attracted to this guy so much, but I'm not.
Right.
But I was like, all right, we're going to act the whole way through. And that was the scene where, the directors were also my agents, who are now my agents, but they were like, wow, Jasmine, like your acting has really got better. And like they just meant like dialogue. And I was like, if y'all thought that was a good scene, then damn, my acting's great
That's
because
great.
I
That's fucking
didn't
great.
like any of that.
That's great. That's great.
So,
Yeah.
it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum. And there are some people like before the scene starts, I'm like, I'm really not into you, but wow, I can be into this scene. I can be into it for this. And yeah, even with my OnlyFans collabs, there was an entire week one time I went out to LA and all I did was collabs. And it was like all of my collabs were duds. And I remember going to my last one and I was like, all right, we're putting on a game face and we're gonna act. It's gonna be a
What?
nice acting day. And then the guy just like blew my socks off. And I was like, wow, thank you. Thank you. God, been waiting to
That's
get
great.
all week.
That's fucking great. Now, like I said, right, when I spoke to Kayla, I'm just using the Kayla page. When she goes on set, again, and Kayla's, she's a trip. So she's, she gives the guys, and again, maybe she can do this because she's old or whatever, and everybody she's sleeping with now is younger.
Old.
So she
Oh.
gives, she's like a, I would say the 40s, but she does the scene now. She's always like the MILF. You know what I mean? It's now.
Okay. They just like they're like, that's it, you're the MILF, and we're gonna need
Right.
the youngest guys who look like they're barely 12. Yeah.
Right. So she gives them like a list of do's and don'ts when she gets on set. What is your biggest don't?
My biggest don't.
Do you have
Ooh.
any like don'ts that you like,
Again, because I walked into the Brazzers spectrum and I've shot so much with other companies that are affiliated with them, a lot of times they have an entire sit down where
That's
they're like,
crazy.
we're going to go over boundaries. We have a list. And I remember the first set that I walked onto, maybe one of the only sets where the director did not pause to check test or do boundaries, where I had to be like, whoa, huge time out. We swap tests and then the director's like, oh, you don't really need to go over boundaries. I know this guy. And I was like, I don't have sex with people in my regular life that I don't go over boundaries with. So you can fuck way off. So after that, I was like, okay, cool. If I ever get caught off guard again, I made a boundaries list. So like, don't hit my jaw. I'm fine with being
Are
roughhoused,
you
but
talking about like this?
like mouth open like that
Right,
because
like when you're like with a cock in
If
mouth.
you don't know how to slap someone, don't slap them, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Slap me in the face. Do it. But by God, if my mouth is open and you rock my jaw, I'm going to.
All right. I misunderstood. I thought you meant when you give it a blowjob, and I like, am I
There's
actually
no.
really doing this right now? Is that something I'm actually
That
doing?
would be, yeah, that's what it's kind of like. That is usually more on the cheek. But, yeah, I don't know if you've done that move, but usually it's the stick the dick in the cheek, slap the dick from the other side of the cheek
Right.
is the move. But there was a time in my personal life where I was going back and forth, spitting in someone's face and slapping them. We're doing this back and forth. And then I'm riding and I moan, and this guy reaches up and slaps the shit and rocks my jaw. And I just stopped and I was like, what the fuck did you do that for? Like, you just sprained my jaw, homie. Don't do
Right.
that. So don't hit my jaw. Don't jump scare me. Don't choke me until I pass out. I don't do anal penetration. Don't put bodily fluids in my eyes. I don't do race play. I'm not going to call you daddy unless my scene calls for it. Don't leave a mark. Don't fucking tickle me because I will murder you. Maybe not murder you, but
No, I know you. I
I will
gotcha.
get violent. Don't starve me for air.
Well, I mean, all good requests, if you ask me.
And yeah, it's a lot of times people are like, wow, what have you been doing? Why do you
Right.
have to say that? And I was like, just in case, because this is almost like everything on this list are things that have happened that I'm like, wow, I didn't think I'd have to tell anyone that. But yeah, maybe, whether it's onset or offset, just like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, I gotcha.
Don't
Well,
do
like I
that.
said, you kind of got lucky because a lot of these girls, they started like in some creepy room with some dude and a camera. I mean, you got to start like on, with the Warner Brothers
Yes.
you know what I mean, of porn. So that, I mean,
I
that's.
am definitely lucky in that sense. And I'm really lucky that I did take and experience so much from like the BDSM and kink community, Because if you ever take a BDSM or a kink class, the first half of it, like 30 minutes to an hour, I swear to God, is typically about consent and boundaries.
That's crazy.
And it's because if you don't have a good foundation in that, things will happen and you end up with a list like this. So you're like, this is why I have a
No
list.
semen in the eye. You know what I mean? No, I get it. I get it. So again, another one of the questions everybody always likes when I ask, and I actually get a lot of DMs, like say, make sure you ask these questions. So everybody says, so far, everybody has said, except for one. So out of 10 interviews with porn stars, females, everybody's given me the same answer except for one. And I'm going to ask the question. I'm just going to see what your number one, because I have a number one answer already. So what is your least favorite position on set to do?
So, out of most of my experience, this is going to sound bad. I would say, okay, I have two answers for this one because it's
Okay.
going to, okay. So, one, I would say doggy only because of the way you have to treat
Really?
your back. Because here's the thing, normal one-on-one doggy is one thing. We're going, we're vibing. Porn doggy, I have to arch, put my head
All right.
twist all the way back to where the camera can see my asshole and my face.
Right, I got
And
you.
that is hard to hold. However, I was on this one, the same set that I just said that like the director did not pause for boundary talks. And they had me ride, I swear to God, for like almost the entire in different positions, and they would do like what they said was like 5 minutes in this and 5 minutes in that. I was like, I am writing for the entirety of these tapes. And I was like, I never in my life thought I would hate writing this much because why am I writing for 30 minutes? Please stop. Please. I'm
Right.
begging you. Why?
Right. So your number one answer is what?
I would say doggy.
Wow.
But with the exception, and again, it depends on the type of set. Right. 'Cause like I would say, like overseas in Europe, when you start in a position, you need to stay in that position for a solid 20 minutes.
Right.
Again, doggy is going to hurt when you have your back arched and you're twisting your spine. You have to hold that for 20 minutes. It
Gotcha. I
sucks.
got it. Makes sense. Do you know
Yeah.
what the number one answer was from everybody else?
Everybody else was reverse cowgirl because I've listened to your other
Oh, you fucker. Yeah.
podcast.
Ah.
Sorry, you don't. I'm so sorry. I'm like one of the first
Ah.
people that you've interviewed that does research. You know, once you won.
That's good.
Once you
Yeah.
won.
No, reverse cowgirl. So some of the people I'm mentioning, you listened to those podcasts. So you're already familiar with that. So you knew the answer before you knew the answer to the test beforehand.
You know, it surprised me. I was like, you know, reverse cowgirl is like, is it gonna be my number one pick? No, for like what I love to do, but I'm not mad at it. I also feel like a lot of reverse cowgirl. You get a lot of support from your male counterpart. Or
Right.
maybe those other people didn't, and that's why they hate it.
Right.
There's also like things you can do in that position that look like you're doing a lot when you're not. Like,
Right. Okay. All right. No, that's cool. And then another question I'm always asked, again, this is more personal, I guess personal, not personal, but personal life stuff. And it's funny because that's the number one question I'm always asked to ask. And number two is, are you with somebody steady? Do you have a steady boyfriend or no?
No, not at the
Is
time.
it hard? I mean, is again, I keep saying hard, no pun intended, but is it?
It's okay. It could be a 40 slip.
No, it's really not. It's actually no, but are guys intimidated when they're with you, even if it's, a casual thing? Because again, you just said, right, to me that you're with some dude who's a good-looking guy and has a cock for a bat, right? So now a guy that's, good looking guy, but maybe doesn't, has an average size, I would be intimidated. I mean, I'm not, listen, no, and I'm not saying I haven't.
You're like, hey,
I
nah,
would say about,
it's okay. It's okay. No one's asking you. No one's asking. You don't have
no, what I'm
to
saying is, I'm not gonna, no one's gonna be like, what's that? And no one's gonna be like, holy shit, what's that? So I'm in that. But what I'm saying is, somebody who has a normal size cock, and then they see it's, oh, guess what? I'm going to go out with Jasmine Sherney. And they watch a video and they got a guy that looks like this. That, is it something that you've that
Do you think that guys that want to go on a date with me are watching my porn like actively? Like, do you think like they're going on Pornhub? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't wanna see someone that I was going on a date with getting fucked.
No. No.
Like, it'd be fine for me. I can disconnect. Like, yes, I know you fuck other people and you do that for work, but like, I'm not gonna go look it up.
Well, the
That
problem
also
is,
being said, if they look at porn at all, I am probably on the sidebar.
yeah, but you know what though? I don't know if personally, being a guy, I don't know if I couldn't watch because I want to see what my competition, so to speak, has done because I'd want to
You're like,
live,
I gotta
try to
know.
live up.
You're like, look, I gotta knock this out of the park. If I don't, like, why
Right.
am I studying? How can I ace the test? Is what
I'll tell you how fucking nuts I am, and I'll share something personal as well.
funny. Yeah, I wanna know.
When when I used to watch porn as a kid in high school,
I was like, you don't do it anymore? Okay.
but not once in a while. But the thing is, even now, if I'm jerking off, I can't believe I'm saying this,
It's fine. This is
I
what we're
can't
doing.
get off before the, I have to get off at the same time as the guy. Is that
Really?
fucking nuts? Is that crazy?
That's
I might need
hot.
a psychiatrist. Is
That's
that crazy?
hot.
It is, but I have
That's
to. I
sexy.
have to. I can't have, in my fucking creepy mind,
He can hold off
I can't
to
have this
pop.
guy.
You could be a porn star. There you
I
go.
have to wait.
You could do it. You could do
I
it.
have to
You're jerking
wait.
off for 30 minutes straight, bruh.
Jasmine, I
Fuck
have to.
this.
Well, you know what? I'm not saying I don't fast forward a little bit sometimes. That I'm not saying I don't do. It depends on my time frame. But the point is, I have to do it when he does, or I can't be outdone.
You know,
So,
I can't be out done.
is
So
that crazy?
if you fast forward, you just erase that out of your mind.
No, yeah, nobody
You're
knows.
like,
But me, at
no,
least in my mind,
it's
he
fine,
didn't beat me. Right. So
it's
I think I would have to
fine.
watch. But again, I guess
I
everybody's different.
know.
You know what I mean? So again, I know you did some research.
Yeah, did you do research?
I also happen to go on a couple videos. I have to do my research. You know what I
What'd you
mean?
watch? What videos were you watching? Were you watching Pornhub? Were you watching browsers? Were you, was it
I
browser?
watched Free Use.
Oh, the free use one with Jack Knife.
The free use. I like the free use ones, to be
Yeah.
honest with you, because it's kind of a cool concept. Like you're cooking in the fight, just in general. I've seen people cooking and all of a sudden a guy walks in, hey, what do you make? And then they have a normal conversation while he's
Yeah.
having sex with her. So I kind of, as soon as I saw free use and you were in
Yeah.
that, I'm like, bam. So but yeah, so like I said, that's so anyhow, getting back to that, I can't believe I even shared that. But getting back to you with, so my question is more, are you looking for something steady, or have you found it harder, again, to find someone, or has somebody backed off that you were into because of what you do?
You know, Steve, I think the reason, one of the main things that's revolves around human existence is our connection to other people. So I think it would be almost silly or nonsensical for me to say, like, oh my God, I never want a partner. You know, so
Right.
yes, that is something one day I would love to have. I also realize that I'm not, like, there are so many factors right now of, like, have I really had the time to date in the last year as my career has been progressing? Wow, no. There was someone I was seeing casually for like 5 months or so, but I was like, for so many reasons, I was like, wow, this is not going to work and you're a bad person. I don't know. If, how about this? I think being a porn star, like anything else in life, is going to kind of take this whole pool, right? So let's say this is the world of dating. And then I say, I'm a woman. Okay. Well, anyone who's not attracted to women, they're not gonna fuck with me. Cool. So now this is my world. Okay, I'm brown. Anyone who's not gonna fuck with someone who's brown, this is my world. Okay, well, I'm also queer and that's really important to me. Okay, who wants to date a queer brown girl? Okay. And then we add in, various other things, whatever that may be about my personality. Like, if you're gonna date me, we're really gonna talk about therapy, and you, by God, better be making yourself better. That's gonna bring me to about here. And then I'm a porn star. And I would say maybe that's about the same circle, but we'll put it like that, right? And to be fair, anyone who wasn't gonna fuck with me before all of those things, like, fuck them. Because
Right.
you're not actually here for me. You're here for someone that you maybe wanna make me out to be, or, some other various thing. And like, even people, let's say, that are okay with me being a porn star, they also have to look at the fact that like everyone else in you, like you, whoever I end up dating, like they are not only going to have to like work with their own internalized things, they're going to have to work with that within their socialized systems, whether that's their family, their friends, their coworkers, you know. So sure, I'm sure it limits me. Has anyone said it to my face? I don't think so. But also, Steve, I'm not out here fucking with people like that. Like I'm really at the house minding my own business. I'm either
Well,
working and making money or I'm resting because I was working and making money in whatever capacity that looks like.
no, that's great. That's a great answer. So again, with that being said, right, what is the biggest difference between sex on set and then having regular sex with a partner that you're intimate with, physically and mentally?
I mean, I've only had, this is where, gosh. So one
Don't
thing,
tell me you've had less partners in real life than you did on set. Really? Wow.
I mean, is that really surprising? Okay, well, especially since like this last year that I've started filming, because like if I look at how many like scenes I've done versus how many people I've had sex with off camera, it's been like one person I've had regular sex with.
Right.
And that's it. And I'm like, yo. So part of it is there's a few factors of like why that is. And one of them is like testing, right? I'm like, yo, if I'm talent tested and I have a scene coming up, I then need you to be talent tested or else I'm no longer talent tested.
Right.
And
I got
seemingly
you.
this testing barrier is huge for people. Who knew? Who knew a 24-hour test and being in a database is going to be so big for people? And if anything, if there's a turnoff for me, it's like not listening to my boundaries, especially around testing. I'm like, that's
No
fucking
semen in the eye. No
no,
punching me
just
in the
like
jaw.
you won't go get tested? That's crazy. That's wild. That's like your ticket, bro. Just go get tested.
Right.
I have told one or two people, I'm like, I'll pay for your testing if you go.
Right. Right. No, listen, I don't blame you.
But the difference I would say is like true almost vulnerability of like it's very different. It's very different. And when I did finally have sex with someone after, I want to say like 6 months or so, I hadn't had sex with anyone off camera. Like I like low key had like a small freak out and like went to this guy's bathroom. Like I didn't show him, but I was like having like a small panic attack in his bathroom. And then like I called one of my friends up after who also does sex work. And I was like, yo, so I'm telling her the situation. And she's like, yeah, like I could have sex for work every single day, multiple times. And it still feels like I haven't actually had sex because I'm
I
working.
mean, I guess that makes sense. I guess that makes sense.
And I was just like, I don't know. Do I know how to suck a dick now? You're like, ah, what do I do here? Am I doing this right?
That's so funny. That's crazy. I mean, again, but I get it because you can compartmentalize it a little differently. This is work. I got to do what I got to do, and now it's this intimate.
It is. And even the moves that you do are going to be different of like what looks good on camera versus what feels good.
Right. I mean, again, I get it. I totally get it. So I got a couple more for you, and then where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where is Jasmine in 5 years from now?
You know, I feel like I get this question a lot and I almost always have the same answer. And I'm like, look, as long as I'm happy and healthy and my family's safe, then like I'm good. I see myself as continuing to go to therapy and work on things and be like the best version of myself. When it comes to my career, I got here by following what felt good and right and doing things that I loved, and I'm gonna keep doing that. Let's see, egregious goals that I would have that I'm like, that would be super cool. Like I would love to like host an award show one day. I don't know if I'll get there, Steve, but I would like to. I would love to be able to be like a sex worker, porn star that was able to bridge the gap in between like what people call like mainstream, whether that be like brands actually talking to me or looking at sex workers as like a valuable place or like doing commercial work. Like that'd be super cool. But like I don't know. I don't have crystal ball. So like, as long as I'm happy, I'm healthy, my family's safe, like I'm good.
Good answer. Very good. Now, like I said, the name of the podcast is actually "Screw the Cloud," right? So the whole meaning to, I mean, in this case, "Screw the Cloud" obviously basically was created to say you were a road in your life. You could have went left or right, and
Yeah.
you went right, and you are where you are. So, what was that screw it moment that basically brought you to where you are today?
Wow. Yeah, it's funny because like there are people who have, friends or people who have mentored me in various fashions throughout my life, whether they were also like Instagram foodies, bloggers, in the nursing field, in medical or whatnot. And they knew that this is kind of something I've always wanted to do. And for so long, I was like so unhappy being a nurse. I was like, but I spent all these years like really putting my nose to the grindstone and doing this. Like, do I really take this turn and go and do something that like doesn't even feel like a real job? It was when I realized just like how absolutely fucking miserable I was. I was so miserable, and it didn't matter how like I had doctors I used to work with, or other people be like, but you were so good at it. And I was like, you know what? You can really hate something and be great at it. And not to say that like everything's bad or everything was bad in my nursing career, but like it wasn't what I wanted to be doing. And it was this moment of saying, I've been on this earth and I keep doing things that I think everyone else expects of me, and trying to be the person that I think I'm supposed to be palatable for everyone else. And I'm so fucking tired of it. I was like, I'm tired of it. I just want to live my life for me. And would be, like obviously living life means I need to make money, but also just like I would see other people chasing their dreams and being authentic to themselves. And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. I'm going all in. I'm doing it, and we're gonna see. And I remember like this time last year, even with like the amount of like I didn't have the followers I have now, but I had like maybe like 60K followers. I was like, I was at a low point. Like I was broke and I had no idea if any of this was gonna pan out for me. And I remember like I have a few friends who were there, and they were like, you just keep trucking. And I was like, eventually it's gonna stick and I'm gonna make it. And like I might be broke, but I'm really happy. And eventually
That's great.
it did. It worked out for me. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, look, I just followed again what felt good and right, and eventually just said, fuck it. I was just that fucking unhappy.
That's awesome. And again, so in a way, that's very entrepreneurial because obviously don't know what you're doing in life. You said, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
I'm unhappy, right? Or I'm not, I'm gonna do this is what I really want. And no matter what happens, I'm going to do everything I can to make it happen. And, most of our listeners, I mean, we have a ton of listeners from, different all aspects of life, but a lot of them are artists, actors, producers, directors, entrepreneurs. And sometimes, they get to a point where, and again, I get DMs on this too, that they're looking to quit. And, they're just ready to say, fuck it, nothing's happening for me. What so that's really what you would tell them, right? So at the end of the day, if they were looking for advice, you would just say,
I would say follow what feels good, what feels right. When I decided I was going to leave nursing, I sat down with people that I saw that were doing what they fucking loved and were good at it, were successful. And I was like, how did you get here? And they were like, I just kept working my fucking steps to get here. I knew this is what I wanted. I knew this was like the path, and I just kept following it, and I ended up here. And I would also say like a big part of what's been great of my journey is like finding other people like me. Like I always felt, and still do to a point, feel like I am from the island of misfit toys. And the thing about being from the island of misfit toys, or being a people of that, is like there aren't a lot of us, but you'll never find those other misfit toys if you don't put your hand up, if you don't go searching. No one was gonna find like all the little niches that I go into, that I'm like queer and kinky and sexual and weird. if I didn't show those things. And if there's another thing that I've learned about like getting bigger is that like those people have been able to find me. And I get to tell them, you're not alone. But it takes people standing up and it takes you showing those flags before anyone can find you.
Amazing. Well, there you have it. I mean, Jasmine, this was awesome. Again, sorry I had so early in the morning. I had a jump start myself. I'm still and I'm, that was that mine was at 10, so I
Well,
appreciate that.
I appreciate you starting what sounds like earlier for than you normally would.
Oh yeah, I mean usually we start around 11, but with that being said, thank you so much. Jasmine said it. I say it every episode. If you dream, dream out loud. Don't talk shit, create shit. Once again, my name is Steve Stanulis. This is Screw the Cloud. Our sponsors believe, and I can't wait for this one to drop. Let's hear it for Jasmine Sherrity. Also, Jasmine, before we let you go, please tell everybody out there how they can find you and follow you.
You can find me. I am on most social media platforms at Jasmine Sherney underscore JASMINESHERNI underscore. You can also go to jasminesherney.com or allbadbitchesgotoheaven.com.
There you go. I got to check that one out myself. Well, again, thank you so much. I can't wait for this one to drop. And once again, if you dream, dream out loud. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to Screw the Clout. Join us next week for our next amazing guest.